Hello, Ted.
This is C. Norman Wood. Today is May the 24th, 1994, and this interview is taking place in the office of Norman Wood at Guardian Systems, located in Leeds, Alabama. This interview is sponsored by the Jacksonville State University History Department, and it is part of the Environmental Oral History Project for Suzanne Marshall. The first question is, describe your educational background and what theories back your education?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree from Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. I majored in biology and have a chemistry minor. Mainly took those type of courses because I'm very interested in life sciences and that kind of thing.
Okay. Number two, what was your choice of career motivated by environmental issues?
Yes and no. My original plans were to go to medical school. However, that opportunity did not present itself, and so I chose the environmental field because I have the environmental concerns, interest in the environment, and wanted to do something to help the environment.
Okay, question number three. What type of work do you do?
Here at Guardian Systems, I'm the bioassay director. I do effluent toxicity testing, where you use living organisms to gauge the damage that a pollutant or a toxic substance can or will cause to the environment. We use two organisms here, a little planktonic water flea, a little water bug that you see floating in ponds called Ceriodaphnia dubia. And we also use a fathead minnow, which is similar to a bait minnow that's used fishing, called Pomophiles promilus. The organisms are exposed to effluents or discharges, and one or more responses are observed during a test, those responses being either survival or lethality, reproduction, and or growth. We separate our testing into two types of testing. One is the acute toxicity testing. And acute toxicity refers to the death or extreme physiological disorder immediately or shortly following introduction of an organism to the effluent. These tests usually last anywhere from 24 to 96 hours. And the thing that you're looking for is the survivability of the animal. The second type of testing that we do is the chronic toxicity testing. This involves a long-term effect of small doses of contaminants or pollutants and their cumulative effect on the organisms over time. The exposure period is up to 7 days. This gives you a better chance to see a long-term effect. And what you're looking for is the survivability of the organism, the inhibition of reproduction, or the and or the inhibition of growth. And that's pretty much what I do specifically. And these are regulated and dictated by the EPA and state regulatory agents, Alabama Department of Environmental Management.
Okay. What kind of restrictions are put on the quality of water by the EPA or AD?
The restrictions are growing daily, it seems. The U.S. EPA and ADEM constantly and regularly updating their restrictions and regulations that they place upon any and all dischargers into streams. It all started in 1972 with the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, and then went from there to the Clean Water Act in 1977. This legislation required every discharger to a navigable stream or water source to obtain a permit from the state or the regulating agency for such a discharge.
Okay, well, how do you feel about these restrictions?
They're good and bad. The water certainly needs to be regulated. It doesn't need to be just polluted at random, at will. However, there has to be a balance somewhere to where you don't run the industries and municipalities out of business. There has to be a genuine concern for the environment, genuine concern for the water, but you have to reach a point to where the people can live and maintain their lifestyle without putting people out of business.
Does something need to be done about these restrictions, and how do you, if you do, go about changing these restrictions?
As with any government agency, it gets real political. I think there needs to be some more restrictions in some areas, but in less in others. I guess the easiest and best way to change or manipulate these regulations is through the politicians, your representatives, your senators, people like that who directly affect the decision making in Washington.
Have these restrictions changed since you've been doing this work?
Yes. About the time you get used to one regulation and how to do things one way, the government, the state, federals, whoever, will come out with a new and improved regulation to do it a slightly different way, or more to it, or less to it, whatever. But they are constantly updating and renovating their requirements. They'll find new compounds that need to be regulated. If they find that they're adversely affecting the environment, then that's another thing to be put on the list, so to speak, of things to be tested.
Well, how does your company deal with the environment?
Here at Guardian, we are a contract analytical laboratory. Our function is primarily to be a contractor for industries or municipalities. We test and analyze their discharge or product before it goes into the streams and lakes and rivers of Alabama or whatever state they may be, and we do out-of-state work also. We check it for chemical content and also for toxicity is what I test for. It's our client's responsibility to report these findings to the state or the federal regulating agency. However, we have responsibility to maintain records and reports and things like that if needed to be subpoenaed through courts, if there's a court action needed. We maintain records here and on file if they're ever needed in the future. I guess another way that we deal with the environment is through this testing process, we generate some hazardous waste. Whether it be through extra sample that people send us and we don't use the complete sample in the analysis process, or a byproduct of a sample testing procedure. We have to deal with that and dispose of that properly through hazardous waste disposal channels. We have a staff here at Guardian that are specifically set to handle the hazardous waste generated here, and we dispose of it properly.
Okay, do you know of any wrongdoings with the environment in this field?
Yes. I kind of give things away, but when we do work for clients who are regulated by a state or federal agency, there's always going to be people who don't agree with what they're having to do. And being the contract laboratory, we're really about the first ones to know that when people are doing wrong. Many times a client will say, well, they don't agree with what's being legislated or regulated, and they feel that it's too costly for them to follow the law. Because a lot of times to do that, they have to install expensive equipment that scrubs the air or water that they discharge, add personnel to handle environmental affairs. They may have to reduce their production of whatever their product or whatever service they're providing. And all this, in essence, costs them money, cuts into their profits. And they would rather take the chance of being caught by the government. They'd rather pollute. They feel that they'd rather hold on to their money rather than hold on to an environment. And, yeah, there's there are companies and clients that we deal with who knowingly and willfully disobey the regulations. And, you know, we do what we can to help them abide by those regulations, but it's ultimately our client's responsibility. We are a contract lab, and they're the ones who have to turn in the results. We can do the testing, we can provide the results to them, but it's up to them and their requirements to report those.
This kind of goes off the question list, mm-hmm. but have y'all ever had to be subpoenaed or anything for issues like that?
Yes, we have. We've had several occasions that I can recall where we've had years and years of worth of records and reports subpoenaed, and there were some personnel here on our staff who were subpoenaed to verify that those were our reports and testify on that behalf that we did do testing on a certain day for a certain customer, and that those are, to our knowledge, the best and correct results that were obtained from those tests. Sometimes these court proceedings and civil suits and all that kind of thing last for years and years. If I'm not mistaken, we were without those records. They were in the hands of the federal courts for 5 to 6 years. But we have on occasion had to produce those records, and so that is one of the reasons that it's so vital for us to keep a paper trail of everything that we do. There's becoming more and more legislation and enforcement of environmental issues in cases where people are not meeting the requirements, the limits that they have to meet, and they're being taken to court, sued or fined or put out of business. And we have to, when we do our testing, documentation is one of the most important things that we do, because now everything has to be legally defensible. Anytime we do any type of procedure, whether it be actual testing or a preparation for testing, every step has to be documented to ensure that it was actually done. And we can say, it's not just our word saying that we did it, we have it written down in a bound logbook that where we wrote it down at the time that we did it, we can defend ourselves and saying, yes, we did actually do this analysis on this certain date at this certain time. But we have on occasion, you know, several occasions, had to produce records like that. And personnel from Guardian has had to verify in court that it was ours.
Well, do you see the state or federal government stepping in more and more to try to protect the environment with EPA?
Yeah, I do. So many times you see the politicians and the political side of things, but I think there are people in regulating agencies through either the EPA or the ADEM in Alabama that have a genuine concern for the environment, not just where the next vote's going to come from next election. But they are taking a more and more active role in the enforcement of clean water and clean environment regulation. I think that in the future, they're going to take a even more active role in stepping in to enforce regulations like this so that the environment will be cleaner and a better place. Not that it's going to be any cleaner, but it won't get any worse. I think there's been a lot of irreparable damage done already. So I think the whole ball game from now on is damage control.
So how do you feel that they can control this damage? How they...
A lot of it's going to be through legislation. They're going to have to get with the committees in the legislature and things like that and try to persuade the lawmakers to make passing stricter laws. There, you know, is a fine line, however, where you don't want to push a business or industry out of business by increasing their environmental affairs budget. But through the use of legislation for tougher laws, through enforcement of fining those that do willfully neglect the environment, I think those are going to be big ways that they reduce the amount of, I guess, political, pollution crimes